Greetings of Christian love to each of you this morning. Pleasant morning to worship. Enjoyed being here in the service. Last Sunday we enjoyed worshiping at the Ridgeview congregation in Missouri, and they had, you all know, that there was a funeral there earlier in the week, and Saturday there was a wedding in the congregation, and there was quite a few visitors there, and 267 at Ridgeview that morning, and they said it was a record attendance, and so much so that not everyone fit inside the building. They chose not to have Sunday school. They had singing for Sunday school because there's just a lot of people there. And enjoyed being there. And fellowshipping there. Charlisa is making her transitioning to life in Missouri and dirt roads and so forth. So pray for her as she makes those adjustments. She's preparing for a message for today, and one of the illustrations that I thought about doing was bringing a fishing rod with a fish on it. Wasn't sure how I would pull that off, if I would go fishing this morning before church or catch the fish last evening, and thought about, well, I could just bring a fishing rod, but I forgot. Sorry. Thought about it, I was sitting here on the bench. I forgot the fishing rod. So think about it. I don't know how many of you enjoy fishing. I enjoy fishing, but I don't get to do it real often. I don't take that opportunity very often. Some people can't enjoy just sitting there by the pond or by the creek. I do enjoy that. Seems like my life fishing has centered around mostly baiting hooks and untangling lines. But that's fun. It's okay. I'm a person that I've never learned to use lures very well. I know there are people that use lures and they know how to use them, and they catch fish, they catch bass and other fish very well. I have not learned the art of using lures. I'm an earthworm fella, and I found that works the best for me. Fish with earthworms. Well, why do I bring this up? This is an illustration. So when you're fishing, you really do not have a lot of success fishing with a bare hook. If there's enough of bluegills around, they might nab at a bare hook. But you need to have some bait on the hook. And when that bait is on the hook and that hook is down in the water, the fish sees that and he comes up and goes for the bait, and he gets caught on the hook. And then, if it's a good snag, the fish will go where you want him to go. And most often that's in your bucket or something. The life is a little bit that way for us. And the title of the message this morning is Helps for Victory in Times of Temptation. Helps for Victory in Times of Temptation. Turn with me to James chapter 1. We'll have this for our text. I like to be looking at different scriptures today. It helps for victory in times of temptation. I do not need to tell you, but you're well aware. I hope you are aware. I hope you're a fighting Christian. I hope that you know what temptation is. You know what it is in your life, the things that tempt you. Sad is the day when a person gets to the place where he doesn't really feel like he has any temptations. And you question the morals of a person like that or the convictions of a person like that. And we face temptations. And we'll notice that here. I'd like to read James chapter 1, and I want to read verses 13 to 18. Here, just earlier in James, James is talking about trials. And in verse 12, that is related to trials. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation or trials. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. There's a difference between trial and temptation. Although in our trials, we can have temptations presented to us in times of trial. There may be times of special health situations, and we may be tempted to try something to solve our health question that is outside of the realms of scientific explanation, and it borders on occultic practices. And we may be tempted, like, oh, there's nothing else helping. This is supposed to help. Trials may present temptations to us. There's more things we could think about in relation to that. But verse 13, it switches. He switches. Starting to read, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That lust there means desires. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Defining temptation. Temptation is simply an invitation to sin. Temptation is an enticement to act in disobedience to God's will. That's what temptation is. I said temptation is an invitation to sin. What is sin? It's a subject in itself. But sin in simple form is to miss the mark. Sin is a transgression of God's law or God's will. It is simply disobedience. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, we are told, James says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him it is sin. Temptation is as old as the human race. And the enticement to disobey the higher law of God is native to human life. The enticement to disobey the higher law of God. Temptation in itself is not sin. It is in the yielding to temptation that becomes sin. God has given the Christian a blessed promise in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Just a simple note. To bear it means to endure it. Just a simple note. The verse says, a way to escape it. It does not say a way of escape it. And oftentimes we misread this verse and we say a way of escape, which leaves the connotation that, anyway, it's, I think we know what we mean, but a way to and a way of are slightly different. A way of escape Or it's more the connotation that God provides that way of escape. God provides a way to escape. And a way to escape, you need to consciously choose that way to escape. It's not that God will take control of you and escape you necessarily. There's a conscious effort. We'll look at that more in a bit. Foundational to victory is to desire to please God above the desire to please my flesh. It's foundational to victory. Romans 6, verse 16 reminds us that as servants, it is evident of the master we serve by the one that we obey. So, in my life, the master that I'm obeying, that's a servant. I'm a servant to that master, the one who I'm obeying. Fairly simple. The source of temptation, first of all. What is the source of temptation? I'm going to turn back to Genesis chapter 3, first of all, for this. The source of temptation. Temptation to sin, first of all, is rooted in the deceptive nature of Satan. In Genesis 3, verses 1 to 6, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? It's a question. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. It's the answer to the serpent's question. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. But something changed in an instant. They took of that fruit. So, number one, temptation to sin is rooted in the deceptive nature of Satan. From this very moment, the conflict between good and evil entered the heart of humanity. And there's that conflict and that war takes place in the minds of each of us. The war between good and evil. Satan presented Eve with the question, yea, hath God said? Questioning revealed truth. Secondly, he presented to her the notion that she was being withheld something good. Thirdly, he presented to her that she was told an untruth. Ye shall not surely die. The source of temptation. So, it's rooted in Satan, the deceptive nature of Satan. It is also, temptation presents itself to us through internal desires and external pressures. Internal desires and external pressures. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. What does lust mean? To set the heart upon, long for, a longing for what is forbidden. There's two words that the Greek defines this as, and it is would fain. In other words, would fain, W-F-A-I-N. I thought of the prodigal son, where it says he would fain have filled himself with the hus, or he... I think I should have looked that up, but I think that's the wording there. Would fain. In other words, a desire. Now, that's what he had there, hus to eat. Enticed means to entrap or a decoy, a trick or bait, as in the bait of the hook. He's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, native to our human nature, our creation, the chemistry of who we are as a human being, native to us is our desires of the mind and body that crave fulfillment. And it's how we are made. God designed us that way. In many ways, these desires are not wrong. But when we seek to fulfill these desires outside of God's divine will and design, we fail. We sin. When we allow ourselves to enjoy the pleasures of sin, we break down our resistance in future temptations. You know, you start driving somewhere, in the snow, as vehicles drive on the same patch, they eventually develop a rut, a track. And it's the same in our lives as we, when we give in, we take that first track. And it's, as you're driving along in the snow-packed roads, and all of a sudden your vehicle just sort of does that, and you're in the ruts. Well, same is true. When we give in to temptation, we develop that first rut and first track, and it becomes easier to fail the next time. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. James 1 and verse 13, moving back there. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. In Genesis 3, in verse 6, there are three progressions that I see in temptation, or as temptation presents itself to us, or with what happened in Genesis chapter 3. First, Eve saw, and we're presented with visual. First, Eve saw. The second thing was, I call it simply this, I call it cognitive consideration. Sounds like a big word, but it simply means thinking in your mind. The Bible talks about taking into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And temptation presents itself to us, and first is the visual we see, or we hear, or we smell, or whatever it is that appeals to our flesh. And there is cognitive consideration, and this was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired. That's very real in our life we live today. We have these things that we deal with. And the third thing was, the sad thing was, she took of the fruit and did eat. And that's the failure. She took of the fruit and did eat. We must remember, just a side note in this point, we must remember that shifting blame to others for our failure does not absent us from personal responsibility. And that is often the case in our human failures. We want to shift blame. Even Eve did that, Adam did that. And they shift blame to others for our failure. We are responsible. I like to look next at channels. I call it simply this, channels of temptation. Channels of temptation. I'm going to turn, and I want you to turn with me for reading of the scripture to Matthew chapter 4, and looking at Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. I want to read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, and notice what the devil presented to Jesus. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. So Jesus was hungry, simply what that means. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands, they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I wonder what that was like, when the angels came and ministered unto Jesus. What did they say? What was it like? I don't know. But I believe there's ministering angels to us too. So what are we talking about when you think about channels of temptation? I'm simply referring this to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Number one channel of temptation is the lust of the flesh. In verses 3 and 4, Jesus was hungry. To eat bread when you're hungry is not wrong, but to eat bread at the command of Satan is wrong. And Satan tempts us in our weakest, at our weakest point. Lust of the flesh could be defined as lust of the body or carnal human nature. This channel was expressed in 2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 3, verses 2 Timothy chapter 3. You don't need to turn there, but I'm going to read some of those verses. Presents to us this lust of the flesh. I think it's good for us to think about these things. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 2 to 4. So this is talking about verse 1, that perilous times shall come. We had a question in our Sunday school this morning related to church and needing the church, or finding fulfillment in the church, with the church. Is this related to that? I'm not sure. For men shall be lovers, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, it's promise breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Stop reading there. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. This channel, the channel of lust of the flesh, is characterized by lovers of their own selves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This involves the temptations to immorality. It involves the selfish gratification of the flesh. Lovers. And There's many things that we could talk about that, we could put into that. It can be when we, you know, eating food is, we eat food. But eating food to the point of gluttony is wrong. And there's other things. The moral things of life. The Bible clearly teaches some things are wrong. Where there's a line, becomes sin. The second thing, the channel, is the pride of life. Channel of temptation. Things that present temptation to us. The songwriter wrote, "Pride of will and lust of station. Lord, I would from all be free, and the only honor seeking, Lord, to be of use to thee." So this pride of life, we face temptations to exalt ourselves and to look down on others. We face that temptation to exalt ourselves, to want the glory or the prestige or the pride of life, pride in our heart. We'd face temptations to draw attention to ourselves through our lust of material things. James 4, 1 to 10, we could read that. "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, yet ye have not, because ye ask amiss. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." See, this channel of temptation is to replace humility and godly living with pride and unholy choices. First Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money," notice the love, it's the love of money, "is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." When money is involved, there can be issues. There can be trouble when it involves money. The channel of temptation. The pride of life. Number three is the lust of the eyes. And some of these may be closely related. But temptation through lust of the eyes is a craving or desire for the forbidden by what we see. Genesis tells us, and we talked about this a little bit before, but just reiterating it again, Eve saw the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes. Think with me of Achan in Joshua 7 and verse 21. Achan confessed that when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and they are hid in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. David was enticed by what he saw when he committed sin with Bathsheba. Job 31 and verse 1, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I want to drop a note here, and that is that, loved ones, myself included, all of us together, we will find what our heart is seeking. We will find what our heart is seeking. Matthew 6 and verse 22, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I'm simply trying to not discourage you this morning. I'm just trying to encourage us to be victorious in the face of temptation, because we all have them. Now, last point, helps for victory. Helps for victory over temptation. Well, number one, if you have failed, and we have, and we face temptations, and sometimes we fail, well, repent. Repent of it. That was just a side, but I don't have it in my notes here, but I thought about it as I was here preaching. Repent. Number one, set your affection on things above. Colossians 3:1-3. Set your affection on things above. I said, you will find what your heart is seeking. Put off the works of the flesh and put on Christian virtues. Look it up, Colossians 3:12. Your heart will be where your treasure is. Set your affection on things above. And that sounds really easy to do. But it's harder to actually do it. We live with these earthly things. We live in the world. We face pressures of the day. Number two, in times of temptation, pray, asking God for strength and power to overcome. Matthew 26:41, Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray lest they enter into temptation. Pray. Number three, remove yourself from associations and activities that present special temptation. It could be music videos. It could be apps on your phone that present to you special temptations. I was talking with a friend, a work acquaintance this week, and we got on this subject, and he commented how, you know, he's just feeling more weak in on his phone. And he needs to become more intentional on his phone usage. Perhaps we need to, the news channel can be a temptation for us, the things that are on the news, and we need to cut ourselves off from it. Remove yourself from associations and activities that present special temptation. It's something that one will do who is serious about victorious living. You know, that pull was really, really strong. You know, effecting change in a person's life, like to have effective change, where I understand and I know that this is my propensity. This is something that I struggle with. And I want change. And that is really difficult, to have effective change, because it requires you to stop doing what you normally or what you have become accustomed to, a habit. Whether it's eating the wrong food or it's engaged in the wrong activities that are not good for you. And it's difficult to make that change. But I'm here to tell you that it's possible to make the change. Fill your mind with wholesome music and reading, number four. Wholesome music and reading. You become what you read. You become what you listen to. Number five, identify root causes of weakness. Perhaps you're struggling with discouragement or depression. Maybe you're not getting enough of sleep. If I do not get enough of sleep, I am much weaker. Not just putting the blame on that, but perhaps you're not getting enough of sleep. Maybe you are burning the candle at both ends. And my dad used to call us Mennonites, and he was one himself, but he used to call us many nights because we had many night stuff. Maybe you are bitter in your heart and struggling with bitterness and anger. Maybe you are going through a time of grief. You know, grief, and it doesn't have to be just laying away a loved one. It can be a wayward child. It can be health journeys. There's many different griefs that we go through. It can be broken relationships, causes grief. And the devil knows those things, and he will bring into us special temptations in times like this. And identify root causes. Loneliness. Maybe you are just really, really lonely. Maybe you have gone through a disappointment. You know what? There are individuals who have gone through disappointment. They thought that this girl was for them, or this fella was for them in courtship, and the courtship did not work out, or they got a no. They were rejected. And those things cause us to... Okay, this thing's cause us. It might not be the right word. We have a choice in those things to choose the way of God or to look at self and allow ourselves to become in despair. And sometimes there's yielding to temptations in that. I'm saying identify root causes of weakness and deal with those as well. Number six, verbalize. I found this to be helpful. Verbalize an audible no, it's not for me. Now, you may not be able to say that necessarily when you're in a group of people and you face a special temptation. But when you're by yourself or when you're an audible, no, it's not for me. Found that to be helpful. Number seven, bounce your eyes. What do I mean by bounce your eyes? This means that one who has trained himself to immediately look away from anything that might entice him to sin. Bounce your eyes. Number eight, sing or quote Bible verses. Number nine, make yourself accountable to someone. And number 10, resist the devil. Resist him. Resist the devil. James 4:7. Resist the devil, and the Bible says he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil. Ephesians 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. Resist him. Stand strong and firm. In conclusion, Ephesians chapter 6, 11 to 17 tells us about putting on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll close by reading this about Jesus. Jesus knows your need. He knows my need. He was faced with temptations. The Bible tells us he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He was victorious. Ephesians 4:15-16. Well, I'll start at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our professions. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, it's saying that we don't have a high priest that cannot relate to us, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now look, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may, first of all, obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Loved ones, this morning, victory is possible through Jesus. And we do not have to live in failure. That's not God's design for us. Victory is possible through the work, the shed blood of Jesus. Let us kneel to pray.